You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
We've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no...
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Well, good morning. Good morning. This is Wednesday Live. Interestingly enough, on a Wednesday.
Very appropriate. I love that. Dave. Very
well. We came up with creative names for our programs, and this happened to be what works. We're glad to have you with us today. We have some really cool guests, one in the studio, and then one off on the phone, and one that's been recorded. So we're trying to get every angle of radio production here today.
Okay.
And this will be probably a milestone. No one will record it. Anyway, we do welcome. I have with me today, by the way, Jonathan is with a bunch of other pastors in Tallahassee today, a regular program that our governor, Florida governor, has put together to bring faith-based folk together to hear from them, to share with them, bring them on board, and other things that I'm not aware of, but a good thing for Florida, and hear from the pastors. So we pray for all of them as they meet today, and that God will move among them and open their hearts and minds. And Karen Hubbard is with us today from the staff.
Yes, I'm right here.
It's good to see you. And Karen has been working behind the scenes to get things ready for us today. She is more into the production side. She goes deeper dive than I do. It's probably skill sets, one thing, and
more important than the actual host.
Actual, right, exactly. Yeah, anybody can do this, but
well, actually, without her technical abilities, you wouldn't be on.
That's exactly right, and I'm grateful for that, for her giftings. And what the person you're hearing from is our first guest today, and you may recognize the voice, Rabbi Yaakov Zamstein, who is rabbi of the Karim El Messianic Synagogue in Fort Pierce.
Karem.
Karem, I'm sorry.
That's all right. It's Karem. K-E-R-E-M-E-L.
K-R-M.
Then Messianic Synagogue.
I apologize for
no
that.
No problemo. You know, that's Spanish. You know.
Merci.
That's French. No, je ne sais pas.
Yeah. I only know food words in Spanish, so, you know, and the bathroom.
But yeah, anyway. Baños. Yeah.
Baños. But a rabbi is here today, at least to, you know, Purim has come and gone, but a very significant holiday in the Jewish tradition. And also because of what happened in Iran makes that particular celebration even more so. And so to get us started, Rabbi, I was just going to ask you to tell us about the holiday, its roots, what it means, and maybe if you want to then tie into what's been happening in Iran.
Okay. Well, Purim is the celebration that was commanded by Mordecai 2,500 years ago after Haman tried to eradicate the Jewish people back then. He was the Hitler, he was the Khomeini of the day, and he didn't succeed. And in the book of Esther, so it's in the Bible, and it's commanded to be observed. And the interesting thing about it is that in the book of Esther, God's name is not mentioned. It's everything seems to be behind the scenes. God is behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. So for people, you've got to realize that sometimes God is not mentioned, but that does not mean he is not in the background.
Right.
Because he guides everything, you know, and he allows things or not, and he brings the situation. I still remember in the movie Patton with George C. Scott,
mm-hmm.
you know, the question was asked by one of the characters, I forget who it was, who asked, well, whose side is God on? And the answer back was, you better hope that we're on his side.
Amen.
That's it. Not who his side he's on. You better hope we're on his side.
Amen.
And yes. That's the thing to understand. Whose side are you on? Mm-hmm. You know, you're with God or with the enemy, as Peter says, who goes about as a roaring lion seeking to destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't understand your position, you know, as part of the whether the original root or adopted into the root, you know, we're all incorporated into God's kingdom because the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is here, even though it doesn't look like it, but that's what Yeshua, Jesus said. Mm-hmm. You know, so Purim is to be celebrated every year around this time. And this year it began Monday evening. And most places it ended Tuesday evening, but in Israel it's done today too because tradition has it that the sages, rabbis today, you know, commanded that because there was also, besides the first day, there was also a second day in Shushan in which Mordecai got permission to attack the enemies that were in the city of Shushan, not just on the outward parts of the Persian Empire. And so in every walled city, like Jerusalem, there you have that old city there, that they celebrate again for a second day. You know, and they it's a time where they are commanded to give gifts, and the gifts are F-O-O-D. Food.
My kind of gift.
Yes. And you to enjoy it and to have a good time. Read from the scriptures. Read from the book of Esther. Remind what God did for them. He's doing it now. And it was very, very interesting that, you know, as I heard of our Operation something Fury, I forget exactly.
Epic Fury.
That of all things, right, the weekend right before Purim, we're in Persia, mm-hmm. Iran, you know, and basically that first day, the Haman of Iran today, Persia, is gone. You know, just mm-hmm. like Haman of the day was hanged, well, this one was hanged in a different way. You know, so
his life came to an end.
To an end. So it's just very, very fascinating, this celebration. We read from the scroll, and when we ever hear Mordecai's name, we yell and scream, yay, hooray for the hero and for Esther, you know. And by the way, her name today is Hebrew, but back then her Hebrew name was Hadassah.
Mm-hmm.
Esther was her Persian name.
Right.
Just like Paul. His Hebrew name was not Paul, it was Saul, you know, like me. My birth certificate, having been born in Israel, is Yaakov, mm-hmm. you know. English is Jacob, mm-hmm. you know, or if I can go by a nickname, Jake. Jackie,
yeah.
Jack, whatever.
Yeah,
you know, it's all like that, but it has everything to do, you know, with what's going on. Back then, it was in the diaspora. Nowadays, it's in the land of Israel itself, and it's just interesting how God brings about this whole thing. And for me, it kind of like automatically brought me to the thought, is this the time mm-hmm. that God is preparing in Ezekiel 38, before the Gog War,
mm-hmm.
Gog-Magog War, where there would be peace? Because it mentions that Israel will be at peace with cities of unwalled, who are unwalled.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, will this bring a time of peace? And then, boom, the big Gog-Magog war followed a number of years later, whether 3.5 years later, which we'll see. Right now we don't know, or it could be a number of years of longer until this thing. I know one thing, you know, that we have, this may be the end of the Psalm 83 wars. You know, if you all go home, read Psalm 83, you read all the countries that are come against Israel, plot against Israel. You know, they're mostly from the Middle East and North Africa. You know, and then if that ends, then they'll have a time of peace until Gog Magog. And, of course, Turkey is the next enemy, you know, that. So we'll see what happens. You know, meanwhile, rejoice in the Lord. Pray for our troops. You know, pray for their safety. You know, pray that our people in Congress get their head together. You know, instead of fighting the president, whether they like him or not, you know, this will get rid of an almost 50-year enemy that has basically spoke against us, murdered our people, and it's time to stick together at a time like that, not to try to thwart him, and pray for Israel, of course, because that's what we are commanded, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You know?
Amen. I just want to say, and the rabbi has mentioned many scriptures in the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible, that you're saying, what's that? What's up with that? Well, it means you probably haven't spent a lot of time in the Old Testament. And some of it's hard to read. I admit we're going through Leviticus. I was just finished with Leviticus. We're into Numbers now in our, you know, read a Bible in a year.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, I'm not really connecting with some of that. But there are prophecies that in the Old Testament, you referenced Ezekiel. There's also one in Jeremiah 49 that has to do, that many people feel is being manifest today.
Mm-hmm.
We're not here to say that's true today, but to point out there are prophecies concerning the enemies of Israel.
Yeah.
And Iran today is Persia of the Bible, or Elam, which was an earlier mention, more ancient mention of the nation.
Yeah.
Still the same nation, same people.
Yeah.
And I think it's also, Rabbi, important to mention that who is behind all of the war, all of the hate, all of the oppression is the ancient enemy of the people of God, the devil.
The devil, absolutely.
You know,
Ha-Satan.
Exactly. He's from the very beginning till now and until Jesus comes, you know, and all of this.
Yeah, his whole point was to thwart the kingdom of heaven so he could be, according to Isaiah 14, equal with God.
Yes.
You know, but we know the end. He was thrown out of heaven, and he's trying his darnest to overcome the edict of God. But we know the end of the story, folks.
Yeah.
He'll wind up swimming in a lake of fire.
Which is not a great thrill.
Not a great place to be.
No, no.
You know, but meanwhile, we got to be watchful, weary, for ourselves, for our nation, for Israel. We got to be the watchman on the wall. You know, as we're commanded to be careful. And then, of course, there are many implications of this thing, of course, is what's going on, this possibility of this time period of maybe there would be peace, because if you get rid of the problems with Iran, you might have a situation where Russia and, of course, China, for a while, will have to back off because they won't have the supplies of fuel and other things that could be provided by Iran. You know, for Russia, it's not only it's the drones. For the Chinese, it's the fuel, cheap fuel.
Sure.
You know, it's like that. You know, one of the things that you have to understand, when you read the Bible, you read it first in the context of what was God speaking to the people back then before you place it in the context of today.
Right.
You know, you can't do a pretext. You got to stick to the context, and a lot of people just really, I've known quite a few people who can quote you the Bible upside down, sideways, but have them explain what does it mean.
Right.
You know, I recently saw a teaching by a pastor, I forgot his name. He mentioned, why are so many of our young people, the moment they leave our home and they go to college or out in the world, why did they stop believing? I mean, they went to Sunday school. They knew Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, blah, 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 all the way. And they can quote you verses specific, but they were never taught how to defend their faith. So the moment mm-hmm. they are challenged,
right,
and they felt that the church or their fathers, their pastors lied to them, and they no longer believe, and they join the ranks of the secularists, and they go marching in the streets fighting.
Those useful idiots we talked about earlier.
Unfortunately, you know.
Well, I did campus ministry for 10 years, part of my ordained ministry, and the thing in answer to that question, the thing that I found to be so true among many college students is those that were involved in their churches had basically embraced their parents' faith, but they had not taken ownership of it for themselves.
Yep.
So that one of the biggest jobs of campus ministry was to enable them to see that they needed to do that because they're riding on the coattails of their parents.
Yep.
But they hadn't said, I belong to him, he belongs to me, this is the life he's called me to. So that was the role of campus ministry, was to bring them to that understanding.
Yeah.
And I think that may not be the answer for every question like that, but I think it's an answer for most.
Right.
But it also seems we need to constantly remember, all of us, no matter what age we are, take ownership of our faith.
Yeah.
We have a couple of minutes, Rabbi, and we talked earlier before we came on the air about something. I'd like to throw it out. We got about four. No, we got more than 4 minutes. I don't count too well.
Math was never my strong point. 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth upon this continent.
I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but you probably feel the same way I do about this topic. And that is that Christians today, many Christians, I've talked to them, and they ask, for instance, they'll ask that somebody out there listening now might be saying, why do you have a rabbi on air with you? You know, and they miss the messianic part, which means you're complete. Another way of saying that is you're a Jew who's received Jesus as Messiah.
Messiah, Redeemer, future King of Israel. Because he's already the Redeemer of the world.
Amen. And so that we, as Christians, we share in the same exact faith you share with us. It's all, we're all a one community.
Yep, one body.
One body.
Many parts.
And we do some things differently, but the foundations of our faith are the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we all worship the Messiah.
Exactly.
And so I say that as a preamble to bring this up, because so many Christians, and I think, listener, some of you are in this same mindset today, is to not embrace the Jewish people, not to stand with Israel, for whatever you've been told, whatever you've been raised up with, the kind of teachings that they've passed on to you, that maybe you don't feel connected, but that the Word of God calls us to make that connection because we are family.
Yeah.
And ancient God's intended, from before he made anything, he intended that his chosen people, the Jewish people, and those who would follow, those grafted into that olive tree, which is the Christian church, would be one with them and embrace. And what is, you can quote it better than I can, Genesis 12:3, where God says about how
bless those that bless them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So God's instructions, you know, that he told Abraham, I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. That's still a part of God's word. It was a command, not a suggestion. And the Jewish people today are still the same ones. They are descended of the Jews. There's Jews from Europe. There's Jews from Africa. There's Jews from Asia. There's from the Middle East. And by the way, the majority of people in Israel itself are descended more from Iraqi Jews.
Yeah.
Most of them are from Iraqi Jews. They've been there at least since the time of when the Feast of Esther was. So 2,500 years ago. They're still the same one. Even if you take a DNA test, it shows the connection there, unlike Mr. Carlson and his nonsense about DNA. It shows proof. And even they have specific proof about who is of the priestly clan, the Kohanim, the priestly clan. Mm-hmm. So that's nonsense like that. But part of the thing is, for me, Benjamin Netanyahu, yes, he's the same Jew that his ancestors were 4,000 years ago. You have to agree with everything that his government approves? No. Just like, we would vote for, let's say, if you voted for Trump or voted for what's her name, Miss Word Salad, is that, this. You don't have to agree with everything that they do.
Right.
But we are one united people. Like we... as the preamble, e pluribus unum, we are from many come one. We have different parts. We have different faiths, different things. But when it comes to our culture as who we are, we honor the freedom that the founders gave us in order to have that freedom here. And people just don't understand that. So I just as amazing as the lack of knowledge of the Bible for many people. I've even, when I've gone into places where young people are behind the cash register, and I asked them the question, who said this? 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth upon this continent a brand new nation dedicated to the proposition. Oh, man, who said that? And then look at me like a deer in a headlight. I don't expect you to quote that, but who said that? And they look at me like, I said, don't they teach you civics anymore? What's going on with you? It's Abraham Lincoln, who quoted basically from what the Constitution gave us. But our Constitution is that, our faith is in the Bible, and God's word comes first. But we are also commanded to follow the laws of the land unless they contradict what the Bible says. If the U.S. government says murder this people, but the Bible says thou shalt not murder, and that kind of thing we're talking about. We're not told, Sharia law first and then the Constitution. No, we live in the land. God commanded us, pray for the people who rule over you, follow the rules unless it specifically goes against God's word. And people just don't understand that. If they would. We'd have a much more better society, according to the morals that were left by us, even for new students. Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved. So he's the next generation. He spoke about you're the son of, I forgot, what was her name? I forgot her name, his mother's name. But he instructed him, study to show yourself approved. Each one of us, each generation, cannot depend solely on the generation before. We have to take what we receive and then proceed forward, and we have to study the Word of God as well, from the very beginning, all the way to the Revelations. That's one word, and then in between, study. So receive from what God has for you.
Amen.
And happy Purim.
Amen. Amen. And I would just add, it's a prayerful study of the Word of God.
Yes.
It's rich with revelation if we'll only get into it. And I'm encouraging listeners, maybe if we just talked about you, and didn't mean it judgmentally, of course, but if you're struggling with how you understand the Jewish people and where you stand with them, or maybe you don't feel like you need to stand with them. But what does God say about the word is full? God's word is full of his commandments.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't suggestions.
Nope.
And we need to know that.
And Paul explained it very quickly. In the very beginning, it says all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God. They've corrupted themselves. They changed their roles in society and all that. Then he says, if you're Jewish, you're guilty. If you're not Jewish, you're guilty. You know, because what did he say? For the blood is the overall thing. We are to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, just like in the ancient times when the Israelites went out of Egypt, you know, which we'll be celebrating in a month or so. You know, they had to put the blood of the Lamb over the door lintel of their homes. We got to put the blood of the Lamb upon the door lintel of our heart. Amen. And Purim is an actually interesting, and before we end it, I guess, because my season for the morning will be almost over.
It's almost over, but you know, yeah, I got a couple of minutes.
Is that according to the ancient rabbis' teaching, and some also Christian scholars, it's interesting that during the time when the Persian Jews were allowed to defend themselves, it says 75,000 Persians died, you know, because they were going to kill the Jews. Yeah. So the Jewish people were allowed by the king to defend themselves, 75,000, and they shed blood. What does that blood represent? There's a Hebrew word called pedut, which means ransom. Blood ransoms us from God's wrath in order to bring the geula, their redemption for the whole world, for his kingdom of God to be here in the short time that we have. All right.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi. And before we do go, I would like to know if there may be some listeners that are really have become curious about the Kerem El Messianic Synagogue.
Yeah, we meet in Fort Pierce at 2900 Jenkins Road, Saturday mornings. We start at 10:30, whether you're there on time or not. We start at 10:30, and we usually end around 1-ish, you know. And some people stay for, unless something goes on differently. Sometimes we have something interferes, Bible study. And there were people also who learned how to dance. Are there, and when our Hebrew teacher is there, she also teaches Hebrew during that time for that, but usually 10:30, 2900 Jenkins Road, and we meet at a church there Saturday mornings, and you're more than welcome to come.
Praise God. Thank you, Rabbi.
All right.
I appreciate what
God
you're
bless.
Doing.
You know, and say, Adonai Yivarech Otchem. May God bless you. Or you say, God bless y'all, since we are in the y'all part of the South here.
And y'all is not Hebrew.
No.
No, okay.
Yeah, no, y'all is Southern talk.
Southern
here.
Talk. Well, good enough. Rabbi, thank you for being with us. Appreciate you taking the time to share these things with us. And I know you'll be back.
I'll be back. You know who said it first, as far as I remember? Everybody thinks it's Arnold, you know.
But it wasn't Arnold. Who was it?
You know, everybody thinks it was Arnold, but the first one that I know of, maybe others said, but the first one says, Jesus said, I shall return.
Exactly.
Right here on the Mount of Olives, when you see me go up, I'll come back. And I believe General MacArthur borrowed that when he says, well, I'll return to the Philippines. He says, I shall return. And then Arnold borrowed from that and says, I'll be back.
So everybody stole from Jesus.
That's it.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi. God bless you.
God bless you all.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and I wonder how he can love me, a sinner condemned and clean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall live. He bore the burden to carry.
crowned in glory. His face I at last shall see. It will be my joy through the ages.
And welcome back. That was Bart Millard. And he was singing I Stand Amazed. And Mercy Me is the band. I can only imagine both one and two are... two is out now. It's a great music, and a great movie, rather, with music. Well, I'll tell you, we're back, and I'm glad to have the rabbi with us, but now we have another rabbi.
of a different sort.
I'm going to bring him on the air. John Nelson, our good buddy with Families Recover. How you doing?
You know, I'm out here looking at the blue sky, just thanking the good Lord that, you know, we're getting some rain that we desperately need, and, you know... It's just good.
Amen.
Isn't it great when you can just say that?
It is great. And say it with conviction, you know.
You know, there's a lot of people out there. So I just passed a gas station down there, Colorado and US 1. And there's a couple with probably a four-year-old daughter, literally homeless on the street. And then I'm driving down a little bit further. And you know my story about homelessness.
Yeah.
When I see this guy carrying everything he owns in plastic bags like I used to. And, you know, there's just, how can I complain?
Yeah.
You know, I guess that's, you know, God's really put it on my heart that my life's pretty good.
He certainly blessed you, John, and he's given you grace. And it's grace that makes the difference, isn't it? You could never, just in the power of your own mind, have gotten sober, gotten delivered from drugs and alcohol and all that goes with it, if it were not first for God's power, God's grace.
Absolutely. And so many people, you know, in my life have just reached out. You know, I've been really, I suffer from depression. I share that when we have a lot more time. And it's every day I have that clinical depression in the morning. And I got to talk my way through it. I've been listening to a Jen Johnson song, Everything's Okay. And, you know, I've been sharing that with a lot of people because we deal with a lot of people that are trying to get their lives back together. No cars, the family won't talk to them, whatever. Yeah. You know, getting out of jail or getting their kids back and can't see a rainbow at the end of the tunnel. And, it, you know, everything's just going to be okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're talking about Mercy Me, and I'm a really big fan of that movie. You know, if anyone watches the first movie, to watch his father come out of what he did to live that, and then his son to forgive him. You know, Amy Grant, if people are listening, I really want you to do your history on it. I Can Only Imagine. They actually never thought that they could become a Christian band, not to that level. They actually gave that song to Amy Grant.
Yeah.
And Amy Grant, and I beg you guys to watch the video, he's sitting in the audience, and Amy Grant's up there on the stage getting ready to sing this song, and she couldn't.
Yeah.
She couldn't. And she called him up on stage and said, you know, this is your song. This is your story. This ain't my story. And to see somebody give, and look what that song just went to number one on the charts back in the day on all of the Christian contemporary pop charts. It wasn't just Christian radio.
Right.
And, you know, we're seeing a heck of a revival after Charlie Kirk in this country, and it's just exciting to watch.
It is exciting. One extra point about the first movie, I Can Only Imagine, based on that music that was so chart-popping, is that was Amy Grant's comeback tour.
Yes.
And she, you know, kind of whatever happens if you don't tour and people don't listen to you anymore or whatever, but so she was depending on that tour to get reintegrated with her fans and develop some new fans. And yet, by God's grace, she let Bart come to the mic and sing the song he wrote. And that became the song for Mercy Me to get them going back.
You know, and then his girlfriend of many years, the girl that they portray in the early days when they were growing up together in poverty, you know, they ended up, she came to see that show, and they ended up rekindling there.
Yeah.
They've been together ever since.
That's awesome.
So, you know, Amy Grant was being used, but this is what I want people to really hear. If you're really struggling, I have a hard time getting quiet. But when I really get quiet, God's been talking to me.
Yeah.
You know, he's been talking, and he'll talk to everyone that's listening out there. If you just believe it, if you can trust the fact that everything's going to be okay. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm going for hard things that the insurance keeps shooting me down on Monday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my friends are all like, oh, you're all doing this and you're giving it all away and you're doing that. Listen, this is not everybody's called to do what I do. Not everybody's called to do what you do. You know, everybody's called to something, and that doesn't matter. Even if there's, like last time I was on the radio a couple of weeks ago, I had a call from a gentleman that we were able to help him get housing for him and his family. Hmm. The day before that, I got a call from a young lady that actually is for-profit helping place people that can't get housing.
Wow.
See, am I seeing the angels? Am I seeing the miracles? Am I open to that on a daily basis? No. No, I struggle like everybody else. But
you know
it's not the fishing tournament. I'm getting ready to meet some sponsors here. We've never done a fishing tournament, and it's a new angle for us. And it's scary. You want to put on a good show. You want to get enough money to be able to help people. It's new territory. But I'm sitting there this morning, and you know I do a meeting on the river every day at 7 a.m. over by Hudson's. And God put it on my heart. You've got 12 people in this community that have done fishing tournaments that are helping you put this together. See, I can't do this by myself. And that's what I'm trying to say from the inception. Like when you're talking about Mercy Me, it really kindled that spirit in my heart to say these words. I can't do this alone.
Yeah.
But I had to ask for help.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and most people that come out of the conditions or came from the white trash background I did, Detroit, running mafia restaurants and going to prison and going to homeless and putting my family through it, blah, 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 blah. You know, we were taught as men coming out of the depressionary parents, you don't ask for help. You're a man. Make your own way. Mm-hmm. And that's the opposite of what the Bible says. We need everybody.
We do. We do. And I'd like to shift.
And I kept stumbling in this program of staying sober for many years because if you're listening and I know a lot of people are going to relate to this. I was the guy that would go into an accountability program, whether it's Celebrate Recovery or AA. I would get in the middle. I would get there. Things would get good. Then I would get on. If you're in Africa, you watch the zebra clip, mm-hmm. and you got the hyenas waiting on the outside.
Yeah.
You know, what would happen? That one zebra doesn't realize that he's venturing away from his circle, and he's out of the middle, and he gets kicked off by addiction.
Mm-hmm.
It happens that easy. You know, you put your guard down, and all of a sudden, here you are back at the starting, you know, or if you're lucky. I mean, thankfully, our wonderful administration is overdoses down 30%. They've completely wiped out fentanyl. There's, from what I understand, even fentanyl arrests across the United States of America are down 30%. You know, so we can do everything we can, but it's the flip coin to this. Cocaine arrests are up.
Listen, John.
Because when you're hurting and you got that hole in your heart and your substance abuse, you know, we'll find something else to try to fill that hole. Cookies, candy, women, boys, boats, cars. You know, familiesrecovery.org was started as something to try to help my family right off the get 14 years ago. And then when Jenny and I were together and the opioids came out, we went over to familiesrecover.org. You know, there's nothing more important than getting the family back together. There's nothing more important than fixing your life and getting your family back together, especially in today's world. You know, we're involved with human trafficking. They're snatching kids every day. You know, and thank God that the administration reinstated all the money for that. You know, that's something that the left, as soon as they got in, they killed all the human trafficking money for law enforcement. Mm-hmm. Completely wiped it out.
John, I need to get you, excuse me for interrupting, but time is running out, and I want to make sure.
You know how I am, Dave?
I do, man. That's why I love
for days.
Lovingly, I want to bring you back to the core reason is because if listener, and you've been hearing John, you know John, most of you have been listening enough to know John Wells Nelson, Families Recover. God uses this ministry to literally save people's lives, take them
That's
off the street, help
for.
Them get a new life, help them get away from the addictions and if anything, to meet Jesus Christ, the best addiction ever.
Absolutely.
And change their lives. But as John said, it takes money, and he can't do it alone. So there is this fishing tournament coming up, and this is a fundraiser for the ministry. So you got a couple of minutes, John. Tell us about the fishing tournament.
So,
how people
can
get involved.
Tournaments. Jonathan's been to a couple of those. We did those for years. We do the Miami Heat deal. You know, we've been doing that for 14 years, taking people down to the stadium. This year, a good friend of mine came to me, and he was on the air with you, with us, Dennis, a couple mm-hmm. weeks ago, Dennis Fandle Law. And he goes, we're doing a fishing tournament. And I'm looking at him like, okay, that's like me trying to chew gum and tie my shoes. So, you know, we came up with this deal, and we got a lot of people involved. Fishfamjam.com, fishfamjam.com. I'm meeting with some big sponsors today, and we're trying to get it going to raise the money. We are going to get the safari. Rocky's a great guy. He's over there at Pirates Cove. They're going to – we're going to get sponsored half the boat, so people that don't have the ability – and you know me, I love to give it to the families that are getting back together. I love to give it to the kids that have probably never had a fishing pole in their hand. You know, we're going to try to really make this – that well. But then you got the guys, like on the golf course, they're going to catch that big fish because they want to win a prize.
Amen.
So Pirates Cove is going to be where we're at. It's July 18th, captain's meeting. The 19th will be the tournament. Going to be a great event, setting up tents. You know, I've never really done a two-day event like this, but like I said, and this, if anyone's listening and you're an addiction, you can't do this by yourself.
Yeah.
I could never do this event by myself. I mean, just the sheer money. When they showed me the money of what it was going to cost, I closed the email because things are slow right now. My contracting business is slow. But, you know, God always makes a way. And it's crazy because they called me on that Monday. That was a Friday that we met. They took $5,000 right off the top and said, we're going to be your first sponsor.
Wow.
You know, wow. We don't know if we don't ask. We don't Amen. Know if we don't trust. And trust me, I'm not the... I'm like Peter. I'm walking away. The fishing nets are empty. You can walk on water, but I can't. You know,
yeah.
I struggle there. But I do have a faith that he's going to make a way for us to get some people out there. And we're going to make a way to be able to fund this nonprofit for another year, familiesrecover.org.
Yeah.
WCNO, you guys have been – I love you guys. You know I love you guys. If
Amen.
You want an impact partner, that's – a great way to advertise, 7 counties, 7 million people, 89.9, call them on the phone, 221-1100, a big fundraiser coming up. You know,
right.
If you want your business, when in bad times, what I learned in a restaurant business is you double your advertising. Well, if you're slow out there, this is a great way to advertise your business. So, you know,
right.
I love plugging you guys, and it's my pleasure to be a part of this.
Well, it's a blessing. It's a mutual blessing, John, because we are so excited to be able to lift up your ministry and to be supportive. You know, and we would like to believe we're doing part of what needs to be done to help you do what you got to do.
Absolutely.
So again, we got like a minute, and then we have to go on our next segment.
FishFamJam.com, www.familiesrecover.org, 14-year-old, 501c3. It is a IRS deduction. I can write you a donation deduction right for anything that you can donate. If you want to sponsor a boat, sponsor kids, again, 772-285-5828. Another thing is we've partnered with a detox center, rehab in Tampa. If you got Medicaid, we can get you into treatment today.
Praise God. Listen,
praise
John,
God.
Our time is up, buddy.
Hey, God bless you.
Thank you, man. We'll have you back on the air with us, though.
Talk to you soon.
God bless.
Goodbye.
Bye. Wow. What a great guy. I mean, and basically, he has people to help him. But
I wonder if he sleeps. I don't know.
He's
in 10th gear all the time.
He says he admits he's ADD.
Okay.
And it's okay. I understand. That used to be that way, but I gave it up for Lent 1 year, and I never got it back.
That's good.
That's all right. Yeah, right. No, it's harder than that. But in the last segment we have today, we have a recorded interview. I did that earlier this morning with Tammy Kent. Now, Tammy, and I may mention this on the recording, but she is co-founder and executive director of the Declare No More Foundation, which doesn't sound like it makes a lot of sense. But they have to deal with, and they kind of correlate with what John's doing in working with families with kids, people in that have addiction issues, also child trafficking, child sex trafficking, and particularly They want to promote a program that's going to be held at the Grace Community Church in Boca Raton on, I believe it's this Sunday, and it's called the No More Orphans Experience. I think it's going to be a powerful thing. It's a powerful organization. She'll tell you how to go about finding them on the internet. We're going to go ahead and play the interview and then probably have a couple minutes at the end of it to come back and say goodbye. Well, we have a blessing to have an interview with Tammy Kent today, who is the executive director and co-founder of the Declare No More Foundation. And Tammy's going to tell us more about that group and about a special event coming up here this weekend. So, Tammy, welcome to WCNO.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a great to be able to. I want to know more about this organization, the Declare No More Foundation. I read some of the material. It's very exciting what God is enabling you to do. But tell us in specific what the Do No More Foundation, Declare No More Foundation, is about.
Sure. Declare No More exists to connect people to care for the most vulnerable in our communities. We wrap those words No More around strategic initiatives focused on families living below the poverty line, orphans and at-risk children in the foster care system, and human trafficking victims. We see the through line where you find poverty, you find vulnerabilities, you find greater numbers of addiction and homelessness, greater numbers of children removed from their homes due to abuse, neglect, and abandonment, and where those vulnerabilities, exploitation exists. And so, you know, we see the truth of that in statistics that show that 60% of U.S. human trafficking victims spent time in foster care. And so we really want to just plug people in and help them connect to care in areas that they're passionate about. Because, you know, for us as a Christ-centered organization, you know, we lean on that scripture in Matthew 25 where Jesus says, when I was hungry, you fed me, thirsty, you gave me something to drink, sick and in prison, you visited me, naked, you clothed me, a stranger, you invited me in. And then he goes on to say, as you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And the beauty of that scripture is that there are so many ways to care. And so that's what we strive to do as an organization. We just are compelled to help people find their fit in the story that God is writing, find their place to step in and serve for the most vulnerable, because there's something we all can do.
Amen. And there's some things we need to do. You're talking about throughout human history, in every civilization, there are two people groups that are most at risk: women and children.
That's right.
And that's historically been true. It'll probably be true until Jesus comes. And what God has given you is a calling and the grace to create an organization that what I'm hearing, and correct me if I'm wrong, that is both educational and interventionist, in that you bring awareness to people. You bring biblical, Christ-centered understanding of what the problem is, what the issues are, who's at risk, and how to deal with that. But it also sounds that in the course of what you're doing, that what the people who attend these events, who take advantage of the teachings, the seminars and all the things, the outreach that you do, they're able then to intervene, to have the gifts, literally the ammunition, to intervene in the work, that the demonic work that's going on in the world, where these people groups are at great risk.
That's right. I mean, we are bridging the gap. We know that most believers and followers of Christ have that unction in their spirit. They feel compelled, called to act, to do something, but most don't know what to do, where to go, who is trustworthy, and sometimes even why the issues exist in the first place. And so what we do through events, outreach, creative storytelling is really connect people first and foremost to the heart of God, and then to the heart of the need in our communities. And then we give practical next steps because, you know, people sometimes they need someone to hold their hand and show them how many different ways there are to step in. And specifically, that's what we do through the No More Orphans Experience. It's one of the events that we take across the state and across the country to churches, bringing the message of hope, you know, for children and families in need, and really mobilizing the church to respond. Because when we look at the current foster care crisis in our country, it's a solvable crisis through the church. I just we just hosted an event over the weekend, and you know, in one county there were 66 children or 67 children in the system of care. There were 88 churches. So our churches outnumber our children and struggling families. Yeah. People just need to know, first of all, that there's a need, and secondly, be given opportunities and opportunities not just to engage, but really make a difference. And we're seeing that response. We're seeing, you know, 50% or more of the people who attend these events finding a place in the story. Again, not everyone's called to foster or adopt, but everyone can do something. Amen. And we believe 100% participation is possible.
Amen. And this is a vital area of ministry. I wanted to ask you to talk more about the event that's coming up, the No More Orphans Experience. Where and when and what time?
Sure. It's going to be happening this Sunday night at Grace Community Church in Boca. We'll be kicking off at 5 p.m. It's a free event, community-wide. We're you know, anyone and everyone is welcome to attend. There's going to be childcare for ages 0 to 4. We're going to have food, so you don't have to, you know, you don't come hungry or leave hungry. You know, we want to just make it possible for people to, again, hear stories, you know, hear stories of people who stepped into care, hear the statistics, you know, and then connect to dozens of community organizations that are ready to help people plug in. It's just, it's such a beautiful picture of the many ways that we can respond. And we're so excited. Grace Community Church has been incredible to partner with. We see a tremendous amount of momentum happening in the southern region of Florida, and we're just excited to see what it's going to be like. You know, we've got our partners at 4Kids who are on the front lines as a foster licensing agency. They're also doing wraparound care. We've got our statewide partners at Care Portal and Guardian Ad Litem that will be there. We've got, you know, again, everything and anything. Safe Families will be represented. I mean, just, we just want to give as many opportunities, like I said, as we can for people to respond. But for those that might be listening, have had a nudge, you know, maybe you've felt that tug on your heart to foster or to adopt, or you're just curious. You know, we have people come. I had an event a few years ago. I had somebody drive an hour and a half. They got there 15 minutes early, and they said, "We've been praying about this for 8 years. We're ready." Wow. And then I had an older gentleman a few years back that came up to me, big old tears in his eyes, after the event, and he said, "I didn't know why my daughter dragged me here. I told her I'm too old. I don't know what can I do?" And, but then he, you know, through tears, he said, "But God showed me I can be someone's grandpa. I can step in. I can, I can care. God's not finished with me yet." And so we see this beautiful spectrum of people who walk through the door. Some don't know why they're there. They're just there to learn, to listen, and others come with intentionality, but it's just wonderful. We're going to, you know, we open with worship, we close with worship, because again, it's all about, you know, what God is doing. Amen. And how we as his kids, you know, can respond to those kids in our community in need.
Amen. And our time is almost up, Tammy, so I want to make sure, tell again the name of the event, where it's going to be, and obviously it's, there's no charge, so people don't have to worry about that.
Sure.
But how they can get a hold.
Yeah, the event's called the No More Orphans Experience. It's happening this Sunday night, March 8th, at Grace Community Church in Boca. Like I said, it's free. It's community-wide. Everyone is welcome. There's childcare ages 0 to 4. You can text ACTION to 97,000, and it will queue you up a link where you can register online. But, you know, it's free to attend, so if you walk up, you're welcome. But we love to have the registration so we know how much food to prepare for.
Amen. Hallelujah. And if anyone couldn't make a note while, because you're driving while you're hearing this, call the radio station at 772-221-1100, and we'll give you all this information. Tammy, I wish we had more time, but and maybe down the road to be able to talk more about your organization. you know, the Declare No More Foundation. There's a wonderful work of God going on here, and we'd like to let more people know about it. But today we have to say thank you for call, for you know, sharing with us, and we hope to hear from you again. God bless you all.
Well, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
And welcome back. We come to the almost near the close of this day's broadcast for Wednesday Live. If you were intrigued by what Tammy said about the event coming up at Grace Community Church in Boca Raton this Sunday, and you may even want to register, the best way to do that is to go onto the Grace Community Church's website. And the in fact, the address you need to type in is www.graceboca.org/events. And that'll take you to the events page on their website, and you can see where you can sign up for the No More Orphans experience. And so we're thankful that she was available. And we actually have a minute or so before we have to play the close. Karen is back in the studio. She's been running back and forth doing production stuff. Yeah. Do you have any last words, Karen, before we say goodbye?
I don't, other than it was great having Rabbi here. I always learn something.
Yeah.
And he's here, and I learned about what it, but well, that was before we went on the air, but Parthenon, what was
the name of?
Yeah, the name of Iran.
Iran.
The
Romans called it.
The empire was Parthenon.
Parthenon or something.
So I'm
going like
to be
that.
Reading about that, but he didn't talk about that on air, but we were
it was getting by digressionary for us with the little time we had.
Digressionary, but yes.
It may be, and I'm intrigued. When something like this happens that's in the news, but it's also connected with scripture, that I like to do a little study.
Exactly.
Like a little research.
Yeah, it always like prompts you to find out more.
Yeah, well, I'm curious. You know, I heard a little bit. I want to know more.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, listener, you're of the same mindset, because there's so much more to know that we can know.
That's right.
And so little time. So much knowledge, so little time, maybe, mm-hmm. But do your best. You know, don't give up because there's more than you can know. That's my view on things.
Yeah.
I don't have a T-shirt that says that, unfortunately.
Then I always say, I ask the Lord, what do I really need to know? Because a lot of times we look at stuff that we don't really need to know. That's not part of what's going to be beneficial in our lives. So what are the things that the Lord wants us to know?
Amen.
And have him lead us in those directions.
You know, that's a prayer that we all need daily to make, ask the Lord to guide us. Because I know, I think for myself, it's easy for me to be distracted
mm-hmm.
by something that looks interesting.
Right.
But it may not. I haven't asked the Lord about it. And Lord, I will say, my life, within the scope of my life up till today, in that history of my journey are several events where if I had been wise, I'd have asked the Lord about it before I did it
mm-hmm.
or looked into it when it was a waste of time. Anyway, a little teaching. You always get teaching when you listen to WCNO.
That's right.
And but the only last thing I can say that might be edifying is we have to go. So I'm going to play something you rarely get to hear. We call it the closing. God bless you all. Look forward to seeing you next week.
Because there's no wall you can't break through, no mountain you can't move, all things are possible.
Thanks for listening to Wednesday Live today, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. For information relating to their mission and ministry, go to tccalliance.com. Until next Wednesday, may the Lord shower you with blessings.